This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Danny O'Neill is in for Brock today. A little Brock and Salk Friday morning extravaganza. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Have you done open phone lines with us yet?
Yes, I was here last week.
All right, I wasn't sure. I can't remember these things. Well, open phone lines have been fun. You guys call in with whatever you want. You just call.
It was 2 weeks ago.
All right, it was 2 weeks ago. That makes more sense.
I like the open phone line.
It's fun. We just get to hear what's on your mind. And the basic rule is just give us an argument, something that you've been wanting to say, something you've been trying to convince people of, and we'll debate it for a little while. It's a good chance for everybody to complain, you're talking too much Mariners. You don't talk enough about the Mariners. Too much Seahawks. Not enough Seahawks. Why don't you ever talk about the NBA, the NHL, whatever? This is your chance. Call up and talk about whatever you want. We got your back, and we'll spend a moment or two talking about it, unless it's dumb.
Plus, I might get the idea, the possibility of messing with Brock's board.
I don't know whether that's a good idea. I don't know that you should mess with the top five board. I think Brock might come back and break your fingers. 206-421-3776. Let's get this started with our buddy Casey, who is in Tacoma. Good morning, Casey.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I wanted to call in and talk to you guys. I've been trying to figure out who I'm going to get for my new Mariners jersey. I rocked the Felix Hernandez jersey for a really long time. And a year and a half ago, I replaced it with the Cano jersey, and now I've got the conundrum of having to replace that with a new jersey.
I don't think you should get a jersey. You might be bad luck. Maybe you shouldn't have a jersey.
No, man, I like this question. I think there are two suggestions that I would make. The first is Mitch Haniger. Haniger is a really fun player to
watch. He's
going
to be here a while.
And he is he does everything well. He does everything well, and he's a really fun player. The two-run homer that he had earlier this year where Segura was on base, that he just clobbered the ball. They're down two, and he came up there, and took three huge swings at the ball. And the third one, he crushed it. He's fun. The second one is D. Gordon. D. Gordon's a blast to watch. And you talk about, we spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about pitchers and the Mariners getting kind of soft tossers and finding some value there. D. Gordon is a relic of 1980s baseball. He would fit right in with, like,
true,
Whitey Herzog's St. Louis Cardinals.
Absolutely.
Lots of contact. Doesn't really walk all that much. Like, he is the kind of player that's out of vogue in today's game because he doesn't walk and he steals a ton of bases, both of which has become...
Casey, who's your favorite player?
Well, so first of all, you read my mind because I had narrowed it down to those two players, and I finally decided on Haniger for a couple reasons. First of all, not just a numbers guy, but he's so clutch. He comes through when we need him to come through. The other thing is he might be the most likable Mariner that we've had in a long time. That guy sure is humble for how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone from toolsy prospect to most likable player on the Mariners, and I don't think it's close.
Yeah, he's certainly got to be up there. The one other advantage you get to a Haniger jersey, he's going to be here for at least five more years. Like, he's not going
absolutely
anywhere. Which is always a good reason when you're buying a jersey.
That's one thing you would say. I would say one
D.
of the
Gordon's
other things,
may not be here long enough. Yeah. You wait and see.
One of the other things that he has going for him is that he had a grandfather who came over here and sold his blood as part of an income
really?
Prospect. He was a semi-pro soccer player. Yeah, and then he ended up coming and working at Apple and, like, I think knew Steve Jobs, Haniger's grandfather. So that's awesome.
I like that he wears number 17, too. If you're looking for a number to wear, 17's got a nice ring. So, yeah, I would say a nice, shiny, new white Mitch Haniger. Now, which jersey would you buy?
I think I'd go with the cream. The Sunday?
You like the Sunday cream?
The Sunday beige that's there? Somebody suggested a Sean Figgins jersey.
Yeah, that would be great. Why not buy a Sean Figgins
jersey? We have a
lounge
downstairs, the Taylor Jacobs. I found something in my move that I'm going to give to him to put in there.
What is it?
It's a baseball autographed by Eric Bedard.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Who wouldn't?
Don't jinx the studio. Don't do
we're
that.
We're going to bring
Come
it
on.
Down there.
The studio only goes halfway through the shoot and then it quits.
I had to give up Adam Jones and
Starts
George Sherrill and Chris Tillman to get it.
The studio is going to be going through what the essentially a no-hitter. Like, the perfect broadcast is going to be going on in that studio and it'll just quit. Like, yeah, I'm out. 206-421-3776. Open lines. Whatever it is you want to say. It looks like we got one line open. Let's grab Mike, who is in Edmonds. Mike, what would you like to say today?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I've called to apologize.
To who?
The day after Cano was suspended, I called in. And I was as mad and disappointed as I get. And I just kind of went off on the air. And I should have just waited. I think my quote was, I'm going to boo Cano all day, every day when he comes back. And that's not true. in thinking about it since, he's paid a pretty high price and may continue to pay a pretty high price when the Hall of Fame voting comes. And my jumping on his back isn't going to help anything.
Yeah.
And I'm always a little slow to boo home teams. It doesn't feel right. And it's been bugging me ever since I did it. And I just wanted to find a time to call in and just say, Cano.
Would you boo him once? Come back and, are you still going to boo him once, Mike?
Probably won't even boo him once.
Stop beating yourself up, Mike.
No,
you're just fine.
Here's the thing is, Mike, that is the sweetest and most Seattle call I've ever heard. It really is the
nicest
thing.
You already feel guilty.
No, seriously. You feel guilty over something you just said you were going to do. You didn't even do it. You should at least get the satisfaction of booing the bejesus out of the guy
once
before feeling bad
about
yourself.
Mike, I think you should boo him once. I don't know that you need to boo him from now until eternity, but on the day he returns, you don't want to send him a message about what he did, not to himself or the game, but to his team?
The day when I called in, every time I heard Cano's name, there was a boo in this house that echoed through the neighborhood. That's probably enough.
There you go. Mike, I relate to you. Don't give in to boo peer pressure. Right. You just be you.
You should boo at least once. 206-421-3776. Anything is on the table. Open phone lines here. And that leaves a line open.
You know that I get booed at home.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Peach boos you?
No, not Peach. My wife does after my attention-seeking behavior attempts at jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be like this. Oh, boo.
Oh, that's terrible that you have such.
Oh, boo.
It's a really rough life you have at home. Brian's in Bellevue. Brian, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys. My favorite Mariner is Jerry DePoto. And I think back of where this franchise was when Jack was let go and how wonderful things are now. And that all stems from what Jerry's done. And I think it's criminally negligent that they haven't extended this guy. I mean, you don't extend him. You're not forced to keep him if you extend him. You extend him to keep him from other teams.
Right.
And his May trade is the talk of baseball right now. And a quarter of Major League Baseball would kill to have this guy right now.
Yeah, he's got some really right big away. Decisions coming up. And I would love to see him. Look, you and I see this exactly alike. I would love to see Jerry DePoto extended. I think it'll happen within the next few weeks. I really do. I think before the All-Star break, we'll see that news come down that Jerry DePoto has been given a new three-year deal. And my guess would be within a week after that, you'll see the same thing about Scott Servais. Because I think both guys have done enough.
Isn't it dangerous to even let him go this far?
I think so.
What if he just says, yeah, you know what, I'm going to test the waters of free agency this offseason.
You know what, I tend to agree. Like, oh, okay, fine, you don't support me, you don't want me. It's hard to make a lot of the decisions that are in the best interest of the franchise long term when you don't have that deal. And B, it allows him to walk away if somebody else decides to try to grab him from you.
I'm worried about the first part of that, not the second. I'm worried about him making and giving the vote of confidence. I feel really good about what he's done. Mm-hmm. In fact, I can't remember public perception of a GM changing as sharply as it has over the 2 months with regard to Jerry DePoto. And I think he should be extended. I'm not worried about him leaving. Not until you get to the end of the season.
Yeah, but that's idea is if you get to the end of the season, why you got to extend him before the end of the year.
I would agree with that. You do need to extend him before the end of the year, and it should happen soon. But I'm not sitting here like every day that goes by is another day closer to Jerry DePoto. He should believe in enough what he's built here to believe that it's going to end up getting him the best deal if he stays put and is able to continue with his
construction. He really has done a good job. I mean, I threw that out on Twitter last night, asking people what their second favorite Jerry DePoto deal was. I mean, I think the Haniger-Segura deal just runs away as the winner. And I was surprised to see the D. Gordon trade run away as the winner for the second best. It's been a great trade. I thought that especially after what Leek and Marco have done here for the last month, that those two might pop into it. You did give up something for Marco, but man, both those trades got kind of, at the very least, sideways glances when they were made. They received anywhere from not a good trade to whatever, unimportant. And here we sit a year later, and Jerry DePoto rebuilt his starting rotation in the trade market with guys that nobody thought were very good. That's incredible. And by the way, guys who are fairly cheap and under club control for a while. He got the Cardinals to chip in $5 million a year on Leek's deal for the next 2 years. That's really impressive.
What they were able to do was the equivalent of finding a franchise quarterback in sort of the after, and maybe that's overstating it, but finding a good starting quarterback. They got an Alex Smith-like trade. Alex Smith's a pretty good quarterback who's been able to lead teams to the playoffs, and other teams have overlooked
him. But the Kansas City Alex Smith trade, not the one that was just made this year for Washington, because Washington had to pay him a huge sum of money, right?
It's not that much.
All right, but you get my point.
Yes, but it's
getting them early in their career where you don't really need to pay them all that much, and you can spend that money on other things that you need. I think it's a couple of really good deals, and I didn't think so at the time. So if Mike is apologizing to Robinson Cano, I'll apologize to Jerry on those two, because I didn't think they were good moves when he made them. 206-421-3776. Open lines with me and Danny O'Neill. Let's grab Melissa in Bellevue. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. How are you doing today?
We're great.
Good. I wanted to thank you, Salk, for recognizing Mississippi yesterday when you were talking about the Deep South, since sometimes people in the national media, like the Weather Channel, refer to Mississippi as the landmass between Louisiana and Alabama.
Okay.
So thank you for actually recognizing Mississippi.
You know, I would like to say this. This is the first time in recorded history that Mike Salk has ever been thanked for respecting the South. As someone who accompanied Mike Salk down to Atlanta to watch them play Alabama, this is the first time ever that darn Yankee has been
respected. Let's be very clear. I was not respecting the South. I said so yesterday. Nor was I an expert on the South. I am an expert on labels. And very clearly, yes. I said Atlanta is not the Deep South. Atlanta's the South, but it's not the Deep South. That's got to be Mississippi, Alabama, and maybe Louisiana. Right, Melissa?
I agree.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Mitch is in Twin Falls, Idaho. Hi, Mitch. Good morning. What's on your mind?
So I wanted to talk about how I think this year the Mariners, you guys have said it a lot, they're a different team. But last night I was really thinking, we've got a 4-run lead. We're going into the ninth. That's a game that other clubs would have found a way to lose in years past. And, yeah, Colomay didn't have his best night, but the defense, they had some gold glove quality plays, and they found a way to hold on to the win.
Danny, do you like that Alex Colomay gave up a bunch of runs and they still won? That, like, do you ever get the sense? I appreciate the phone call there, Mitch. Do you get the sense that, all right, you know, he's going to give up runs every once in a while, and so don't you want to get one of those bad outings out of the way so that the next few he'll be really good?
Yes, that's completely my thought process. Is I want to win all games by one run, because otherwise there's a certain finite amount of runs that each pitcher has to allow in his arm, so get him out of the way when it doesn't. The other thing
either is, get him out of the way when you're already down 5-0 and lose 25-0 that day and go out and win 2-1 the next day, or when you've got a 4-run lead, give up 3 so that now you probably won't give up another run for 2 weeks.
There was a point yesterday afternoon as I'm watching that ninth inning, and it's after Fields' double, and I really come to grips with the idea that they might actually lose this game. Like, where I'm thinking, like, they're a hit away from going to extra innings, and feeling like, oh, when you know you're going well is when you start kind of rationalizing it, where you're like, well, it might happen. And I realized it's just like when you get $50 that you didn't expect to have, whether you find it in your pants pocket, although I don't have $50 bills. Brock carries around $50 bills. That's a whole nother
subject.
Supposed to
be bad luck.
So if you find or someone pays you that you weren't expecting, you got an extra $50 and you fritter it away on somebody, you're like, oh, well, you know, I was just found money anyway. That's kind of how I felt last night. If they'd lost that game, I wasn't going to kick anything, which was an unusual way to feel.
Instead, though, you bank a win, and one that you're probably going to need as you go through a real gauntlet here over the next couple of weeks. So 206-421-3776. Just buzzing through your calls. Any call on any subject, any argument you've been trying to make, any question you've got. Open phone lines on a Friday with Mike Salk and Danny O'Neill. Let's try Claudia in Friday Harbor. Hi, Claudia. Good morning.
Hey, hi, good morning. Good morning, Danny. Good morning, Mike.
She's so happy.
Quick question. Pardon me?
You're so happy.
Well, it's Friday.
It's a good point, Claudia.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a quick question on Michael Bennett. No one's talking about whatever happened with his lawsuit to the Las Vegas Police Department.
Yes, that's true.
I'm just wondering where that sits, and I'm wondering if you guys think that his move to his new team, is it Philly, I think?
Yep.
And Richard Sherman heading off to
San Francisco.
Where do you think, how do you think they're going to fit in with their kind of turmoilish relations here with their new teams?
And that's a really good question.
I love listening, and I'll take my answer off the
air. All right, thank you, Claudia.
All right, Claudia.
How do you think they both, will they both play a lot? Do you think that injuries at their stage in their career will end up kind of usurping a lot of their starts?
I think Sherman's going to play more than Bennett. Mm. I think Bennett's going to be a part-time player. I think Bennett is going to be the more effective of the two players.
I tend to agree with that.
I really think that we might watch Sherm get exposed.
I've heard that, and I've heard a few people mention they don't know the Sherm's in the league in another year or two, that maybe this is the beginning of the end for him.
I think there'll be some question.
That doesn't seem right to me, by the way. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I've talked to some people who are a lot more in the know, some of the national reporters, et cetera, who are like, yeah, I don't know whether Sherm will do this for another year or two.
His top-end speed was always the question.
Right.
Like, that was really always the, was he quick enough? And now he's no longer going to be having the best free safety in the game, in my mind, because I think Earl is the best center fielder. The guy who covers the most ground back there to protect him.
Yeah, I always got the sense, and now I'm no schemer, so I'm not watching the all 22s to determine this, but I always was under the impression that one of the reasons it worked so well between Sherm and Earl is that because Sherm was so good, you could leave him on an island and Earl could help the other corner, and because Earl was so good, you could have another corner over, you know what I mean? That they were sort of, the two of them worked together but separately to make sure that their secondary was as good as it is.
The reason
to back each other up.
The reason that Sherm is so great in this system is because he takes away the deep fade. That sideline throw.
Right.
There's nobody better in the league at defending that.
Yeah.
If he slows, though, is he a little more vulnerable there? And the other thing is he's not going to have... Earl really covers hash to hash. Like, people talk about that. Earl legitimately covers hash to hash when he is in the deep middle, and he's not going to have that.
And yet nobody seems to want to trade anything for him. It's amazing. 206-421-3776. How about Chris in Seattle? Chris, what's been on your mind?
Hey, happy Friday. Quick shout-out, gentlemen, to Danny. You and I chatted about Nelson Cruz at the Felix game last week. It's nice to talk with you again.
Thank you very much, man. It was good to talk.
What is the national narrative going to give the Mariners their due? And that's just as much for Salk as anyone, just being a non-local guy that's been local now.
I would say when they win the World Series. And probably not 1 second before then.
And even then, it's going to be treated differently.
Not even ESPN headline on a random Thursday when we take one or two from Houston.
Let's just say this. If they win a playoff series, the ESPN headline will be about something else. How's that?
Can I ask a follow-up question?
If they win a playoff series, the ESPN headline will be about either something going on in the NBA, something going on in the NFL, or one of the other playoff series that ended that day. The ESPN headline will be, where will LeBron go? That will be the ESPN headline the day
he's going.
I don't care. Who cares where he's going?
Chris, do you think, and you guys too, do you think that you actually want the respect of people? Do you think
Chris left.
No.
Okay, sorry, Chris. But I think that's a follow-up. Like, we complain about not having it, but as soon as you
best
have the
you
attention
have.
On you, look what happened like to the Seahawks in general. Like, when you're the underdog, you have this narrative of, oh, chip on our shoulder, we're gritty, we don't get the respect
but
we deserve.
But they haven't played that card, which is kind of interesting. A lot of teams do. A lot of teams, they fly under the radar, play that card a lot. I haven't heard that from Service. I haven't heard that from anybody on this team.
He said it's good to be the underdog when he was coming in.
The underdog, yes. But the whole, like, nobody talks about us. The national media ignores us.
Oh, well, that's not baseball in general. I don't think
people are... Oh, I've heard it in baseball. I've definitely heard it.
On the East Coast,
but not from this group, which I love. I think it's a really interesting combination.
I would say this. It matters in college football national reputation because polls and those sort of public opinion. The best thing about professional sports is that your national profile doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it comes to how often you get talked about on ESPN and those things.
I think it does matter.
It doesn't matter.
It matters for free agents. It matters for coaches. It matters for... I think all those things are factored in.
You always get a chance to go prove it on the field. And for all of the different things of, hey, they don't take us seriously. And for all of the attention, did the Seahawks get better players once they became media darlings? Did it really... I know we say that it helps in free agency. Did it? Was there someone... Jared Allen didn't come here. Not that was some big loss, but of all the different guys that you would say that they ended up getting in free agency, Kevin Williams and who? Antoine Winfield, who didn't even end up making the team.
Good point.
I think that those things get made more out of it. You get to win on the field and then get the satisfaction. The best thing is that we have local coverage, So it doesn't matter if ESPN doesn't pay attention to you. It used to matter when there was one game on television.
Yeah, it matters less, especially with the internet and Twitter and everything else that you can now find. But it's still frustrating when you just constantly want to hear about your team and you're excited to finally be in the focal point, and then you're still not because they've got to talk about LeBron versus KD. Yeah, it's pretty annoying. Dennis is in Federal Way. Good morning, Dennis. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. So I want to preface this by saying I love sports and I love all playoffs. But without question, without a doubt, the Stanley Cup is the most coveted cup out there. When you look at the four playoff series that they go through and the grind and the physicality and the goaltending, it's the best cup out there. Not only because I'm from Canada. Again, I love all sports. But I'm super stoked that we're getting a hockey team here. And again, that cup is the best, hardest cup to achieve.
Off the face off, the Capitals have won it. The capital of the country is the capital of the hockey playoffs. They rush out onto the ice to congratulate Braden Holtby. The Washington Capitals, for the first time in their 44-year history, are the Stanley Cup champions.
Great call, but you definitely weaken the argument when you mention that you're Canadian. I mean, like, I agree with everything you said, but it's, if you're going to say you're Canadian, like, yeah, no kidding, you think it's the biggest cup around.
Other playoffs, NBA teams go through four rounds of playoffs. It's not the most grueling or most taxing.
Yes, it is.
It's not the no.
It is significantly more grueling than the NBA playoffs.
Partly because
the NBA teams, that's when their season starts. They've been messing around for 82 games leading up to it, and then they finally have to start playing. The most grueling part about the NBA playoffs is whether or not the guys are in shape after the regular season. The most grueling part about the NHL playoffs is that they've tried to kill each other for 82 games, and then they get into a hockey series where they try to kill each other even harder. If you try to even compare them a little bit, I think you're nuts.
I bet LeBron James lost 12 pounds over the course of these playoffs with the amount of
work. Because it was the first time he'd had to work.
Untrue. He's going to play more games this season than any other player in NBA history. The amount that he's done in getting the Cavs to the... It absolutely reflects. It's a different... It's not as physically...
Yeah.
But we also can't compare LeBron to like every NBA player because he's an outlier, right?
Yeah, J.R. Smith hasn't lost 12 pounds.
No, I don't think so. I don't know that he has 12 pounds of the requisite brain matter he needs to lose.
Is that the dumbest thing you've ever seen in pro sports?
Really high up on the list. I don't know that it's dumber than his other one where he walked off the court in the middle of the game. That was awfully dumb.
Yeah, but this was game one of the NBA finals.
That's true. The scene makes it just even dumber.
5 seconds to go and he lost track of the score.
The hockey players would lose 12 pounds, but they balance it off with the beards that way close to that. So I think
the beards are cool.
The beards are another very cool hockey
tradition.
Not just
because I'm from Canada.
All right, the lines are jammed. 206-421-3776. We'll keep taking your calls. You get to control the discussion. We'll talk about whatever you want. We'll do more next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Brock and Salk this morning. Hope you're having a good day here on a Friday. Danny O'Neill is in for Brock. What are you chuckling at? Little Beasties?
I do love the Beastie Boys. Actually, I've gone back and forth on the Beastie Boys because at one point I declared when they were super into the Tibetan monk phase.
That was too much.
I was like, no! Right. This is, like, the world's religions are not meant to be marketed to the youth. Than the 469. Man, you guys really don't understand cover three defense.
Proudly, I will say. 206-421-3776. Don't trust anybody who didn't play in the NFL or coach at a high level who tells you they do. Because they don't.
Don't you want no cloud coverage?
No, you're right.
You're playing hash to hash.
I definitely don't. Let's grab Trevor, who's in Baltimore, Maryland. Trevor, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
We're so good.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys all the time, and I know, Mike, you've been saying the Mariners should upgrade their pitching later on when the trade deadline gets a little closer.
Always.
If you had a choice, if you're Jerry, you going for Britton or you going for Hamels, knowing that you're probably going to have to give up Kyle Lewis?
Hard conversation and a really good question. I think the nice thing is that by the time you get there, that will probably sort itself out, right? Either your bullpen will continue to be a problem in a way that you need to feel like you need to deal with it, or your rotation will see somebody kind of fall out of it either by injury or whatever else. If I have to choose, and those are my only two choices, it's hard because I think Britton is better than Hamels, but I think they need a starter more than they need a reliever. I mean, they're playing with fire. We were talking about depth earlier with the starting rotation. The four guys at the top of the rotation haven't missed a start yet. I mean, yeah, Erasmo has been hurt all year, and maybe then when he comes back, that's the depth you need. And I guess Iwakuma is still out there in the ether as a possibility down the road. But their real depth problem is in the starting rotation, not in the bullpen. As much as I want to see them add to both, I think I'd probably have to say the rotation. How about you?
Yeah, I think I would lean toward Hamels, but for a different reason. I'm a little gun-shy after the Eric Bedard trade, and I don't want to trade another Adam Jones to Baltimore.
Yeah, I get it.
You wouldn't have to. I mean, do you think you'd have to trade Kyle Lewis to get Cole Hamels?
No, but I think if you're going to try to get Britton, you might.
Yeah.
Britton's so good.
If you're going to get a guy with that much...
Hamels got lit up again yesterday, man. I mean, like, the Hamels thing is not exactly a sure bet. He does have some playoff pedigree, and he's a good veteran. He's a really good pitcher. He's another lefty you'd be adding to your staff. But I think what, you know, you watch him last night, he got lit up by the Astros, which is not what you're looking for. I don't know. It's not that I wouldn't want Hamels, but I don't know that I'd be dealing Kyle Lewis for him.
Exactly. And that's the thing. If you deal Kyle Lewis, you need a chip that is going to be an asset for the foreseeable future. I think one of the benefits that you're going to see with the Mariners, if they actually continue to contend like this and need to prepare for it, you add salary. That's what you do. That's the benefit that you have, is that's when you break out the checkbook and be able to say, okay, it's worth it here. If you trade Kyle Lewis, and I do think that the draft of Stowers, and I thought it was when you picked up on that, Mike, of them talking about how they profiled the center fielder from Louisville that they drafted in the second round, it gives you a significant chip in a farm system that's not overflowing with them, man.
Now, Hamels, by the way, makes a lot of money. I mean, they're paying him $21 million this year. So if you pick him up roughly halfway through the year, that's $11 million or so. Let's say $10 million that you're going to end up taking on. That might be enough to take on from Texas that if they're trying to shed salary, that maybe you can get him without having to give up one of your better.
$5 million from Cano. That you're not paying Cano, that's still kicking around even after you made this.
And my impression has been that they're willing to spend more than just the $12 million that they got back from Cano, that they were always going to be willing to spend more at the deadline. So if you're willing to spend $10 million extra to pick up a player like that and you don't have to give up much in return, I would 100% be willing to do a deal like that. I think it would be great. You're going to have to convince me in order to deal Kyle Lewis. You're going to have to really convince me that player puts you over the top. Let's grab, actually, Kellen in Seattle wants to talk about this specifically. Hi, Kellen. Good morning.
And Kellen!
Kellen, you hung on. We got to your point. That stinks. Sorry about that,
buddy. He wasn't ready to convince you.
He was going to have to. That's like watching called third strike, right?
Yeah.
Sit there, bat on the shoulder. Oh, come on!
Brutal. Little fastball right in the inside corner. You do the thing where you jump back and it goes right over the corner of the plate. You're like, darn it. Let's grab Joe's in Tacoma. Good morning, Joe. What's up?
How you guys doing this morning?
We're great.
Excellent. I want to preface by saying I'm not a baseball fan. I haven't been since I was a kid, but I watch baseball due to my job serving beers to people who are also watching baseball.
All right.
And as a non-Mariners fan watching strictly from the outside, it's hard because I watch this happen every year. Everybody get really excited, and then it all falls apart. And there's an unspoken thing here, an argument that I'm going to make that I've had with several of my regulars that they never want to hear and they never want to admit it. And that, in fact, the Seattle Mariners, along with the Washington Nationals, used to be the Expos, historically are one of the worst teams in baseball history. And no one ever wants to admit that as a Mariners fan. It's always roses
really?
And roses.
I actually hear Mariners fans season. Tripping all over themselves, Joe, to congratulate themselves on that.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Well, so that's the thing that no one ever wants to talk about.
But they do. They actually want to talk about it all the time. So what's your point?
My point is that they never want to talk about it. They always talk about it.
But you're wrong about your point. Joe, your point is wrong. They talk about it all the time. They literally can't talk about it enough. They love talking about the historical failures of their organization. There's nothing Mariners fans like more than to talk about how bad they've been over the course of their organization or to talk about the one good year in 1995.
Was Joe...
Who cared? Why are we even talking about it? Go away. Get off my air. You stink.
Was Joe posing as an anthropologist there?
I don't know.
Observing tendencies and trends?
You're an idiot, Joe. I don't like you at all. Nathan's in Issaquah. Good morning, Nathan.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, Nathan. Nathan, you better be warned because Joe just got taken up outside out back.
I don't. I shouldn't say things like that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't call people names. But that's just so dumb. Hey, you guys, the
right,
Mariners
you
are.
You said you weren't going to call names, and then you said he's dumb.
No, I didn't. I Come said on. That was so dumb, and there's a huge difference. Right. I apologize for calling you a name, Joe, but not your point. That's the dumbest thing I've heard in a while. Hey, the Mariners are doing really well this year. They're in first place as we sit here in June. They're 17 games up now, over 16 over 500. I can't wait to call and say what a lousy franchise they are. Go back to your terrible life. That's ridiculous. That's what's on your mind today. The lines are open. Anything in the world is open to you. And the one thing you can't wait to get off your chest is that the Mariners are a historically bad franchise. How sad is your life that that's what you want to say?
Tom Wassel used to really get mad when I would tell him he's in rare form because he would say, this is how I always am. This is just like, I'm just being me.
I just don't understand.
You're in rare form
what
today,
What is the
Mike?
Point of saying that? Nathan's in Issaquah. Hi, Nathan. Good morning. I'm sorry.
Good morning, you guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm going to do a 180 on it. I'm going to kind of follow up on your guys' conversation yesterday for projected wins for the Mariners.
Okay.
At the rate they're going, they're projected for 102 wins. I know we're playing some tough teams coming up, but our team chemistry will just get better throughout the year, and I don't see why the Mariners can't hit triple digits, at least 100.
Well, because they're a historically bad franchise, obviously. They're one of the worst franchises in baseball. They're going to win 60 games this year.
Mike is really angry. He's as mad as he can be.
I'm sweating, too. Jeez. It's disgusting.
So mad.
I'm so disgusting and sweaty. Ugh. Gross. All right, 206-421-3776. 100 wins? What do you think, Danny? They're on pace for 102.
I think they're going to win 95 games.
Wow.
I think they're going to win 95
really?
Games. Yep. I think they're going to win 95, and I think they're going to be a lot closer to winning the division than we think right
now.
Wow.
95 games.
Yes.
That would be really amazing.
Look, there was, in 2004-2005, the Sonics started the season, and everybody expected the coach was going to get fired, Ray Allen was going to get traded, and the GM was going to get canned. And the whole season was waiting for the shoe to drop. And the shoe never really dropped. And they weren't a 60-win team, but they won 52 games, and they won a playoff series. And this is starting to feel like that, where we just never really considered.
They'd have to go 56-44 over the rest of the season. There's 100 games left to play as of today. They'd only have to go 56-44 in order to do that. How great would that be?
You watched how they played.
That's totally within the realm of possibility.
Seager and Cruz and Zunino are going to hit better the rest of the season than they have so far. I feel very confident.
The question you have to ask is, will Wade LeBlanc, Marco Gonzalez, and Mike Leake pitch as well as they have so far?
That's the counterbalance. You also got some help coming in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to think that this is completely unsustainable. I don't think they'll keep winning at this clip, but I think they're going to win 95 games.
All right, Marlon's in Coeur d'Alene. Marlon, you get the last call for a little while. Go ahead.
Thanks for letting me on here. I just had a couple comments. One, I'm just a big Marco Gonzalez fan because he's over in Spokane here at Gonzaga for a couple of years, and we watched him dominate going both directions. So seeing him do well is just awesome for us, and I hoped and prayed he would be what he's turning into here. But the second thing, it's been probably several years ago, I made a call into a local radio station. We were laughing about the Mariners' recruiting line should be an ex-Mariner, because you watch season after season of playoffs, and it's filled with ex-Mariners who underperformed here and did well elsewhere. And I just love the culture change. It seems like just the opposite's happening. They're getting the most out of players, got to give service real credit. They're getting players who shouldn't have been what they are, outperforming what their cards say, and that's just a total reversal from what I feel like over the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, and I hope they give him a new deal, don't you?
Absolutely.
Sure seems like he deserves it, Danny, and I know you get a couple people around who complain about some of his bullpen usage or this and that. I would bet you do that about just about any manager.
I'm more certain about Service than I am about Nepoto.
Yeah, same.
I love the way Service handles this team. There's not one thing that he's done that where I would look at it and say, you can quibble with some bullpen decisions, but overall, there's not one thing that he's done. Well, I don't
big
like how much he's sack bunts either.
Yeah, but big picture wise.
Yeah, he
are they 17-6 since Cano went out? I think I may have that number wrong, but check it. I think it's 17-6 since Robbie Cano got hurt, and 16-6 since he was suspended. That's incredible. They lost their highest paid and arguably their best player and got better since.
And
that is absolutely a testament to the manager.
Gordon was out 10 games in that span.
It's really amazing. It's just incredible what they've done. All right, we'll see if we can open these back up for you guys at 9 o'clock. We got some other stuff to get to. Manny Acta, Mariners third base, or not third base coach now, bench coach, going to join us at 9:30 this morning. We'll look forward to talking to him from Tampa about this great run that they're on. Also want to do a little quick good news, bad news, no news, because there's some big news brewing with the Pro Football Hall of Fame that probably shouldn't surprise anybody. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, time for a little good news, bad news, no news. Danny O'Neill is in place of Brock today. We may have some time to get back to the phone calls coming up here at 9. Manny Acta, Mariners bench coach, will join us at 9:30. He is one of our favorites. Have you guys talked to Manny on your show?
We have not had him on our show.
Really?
I love Manny.
He is awesome. He is truly one of the great guys in the game.
We're not talking about the beer, Danny. This is Manny Acta.
Yes.
Yes.
The Mariners
Manny
bench.
Chow.
I'm familiar with Manny Acta.
Okay.
And his Twitter account last year was one of my favorites. He found his daughter tweeting swear words and said, like, just responded to her, like, nice language you're using. Is this really you?
Busted!
Manny, for a while, was the best beat reporter covering the Mariners. Like, he succinctly, in a very short amount of space, would put together all of the important details of a game, plus
pictured
a picture.
With the, like, player of the game wearing the swell mitt.
It was perfect.
It was always very artfully taken. Oh,
God. Yeah, I'm a big Manny fan. All right, he'll join us at 9:30 right now. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Capitals beat the Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup in Las Vegas.
Good news, man. Good news because a long-suffering fan base gets to celebrate, and it was really fun to watch it, and it would not have felt right for an expansion team to win. If I thought the little twit from Houston was annoying, talking about the lack of respect for the Astros for the world champions, can you imagine how tough it would be to hear from someone who had been a fan of a team in existence for 1 year celebrating his championship?
It would have been obnoxious. It really would have been. Good news all the way around. I mean, I'm happy for Alexander Ovechkin. Really great player, and his joy. Anytime anyone wins the cup, the joy on their face, especially for the first time, is incredible. They only have one previous cup winner on that whole team, right? It was just Brooks Orpik. I don't think anybody else on that team had won the cup, so that was pretty great just to see the sheer joy. But also, it's good news, and I know they won't feel like it today, but it's good news for Las Vegas fans also. You should not win a cup. You should not have your best moment be in your first year and have it be all downhill from there. So good for them. They had a great inaugural season. I can't wait to have ours here in 2 years.
If you won the Stanley Cup, or something similar, that you get to the end and you've accomplished everything you've ever dreamed of accomplishing, would you stay up as long as you could? Or would you go to sleep and sleep as late as you wanted?
Both. First, I'd stay up as long as I could, and then I'd stay asleep as late as I could. I would do one and then the other.
And if you were in Vegas?
I would definitely be up for a while. I kind of do that whenever I'm in Vegas. That wouldn't be that different.
What's your average bedtime when you go to Vegas? 3?
9.
A.M.?
Yeah.
You stay up all night?
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
I don't usually mean to. My problem is occasionally I'll go in the winter and I'll be like, okay, we're going to play some games, like 10 o'clock. We'll be down here for the football games. Then I never make it because I always fall asleep at like 8, 9 o'clock.
I don't know if I've got it in me to stay up all night like that.
I need to just hit the blackjack.
I was in Vegas one time after the Cougs played UNLV, and we were up, we were out, we were celebrating. All of a sudden, my grandma's calling me.
Yeah.
I look, I'm like, oh, it's 8 a.m. I was like, oh, no. Like, I better not answer this call. I just felt real bad. Sorry about ignoring that.
One of the worst decisions I ever made in my life was after covering the Sonics playing at the New Orleans Hornets, being in New Orleans for 3 days, flew directly from New Orleans to Vegas for the first weekend of March Madness with my high school buddies, and then I packed my liver into a ice cooler and flew home to Seattle after 4 days in Vegas.
Way to do it.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Terrell Owens says he won't attend his own Hall of Fame induction in Canton.
All right, first of all, we'll wait and see whether or not this actually happens. I love that the writers are losing their mind over it. Oh, well, you're being so mean to the Hall of Fame, and this is such a big deal. I love T.O. that he's doing this. I've never been a T.O. fan until now.
T.O. is a N.O.
He may end up being a no-show. T.O. is a no-show. Will have to be John's new one. I kind of like it. He feels disrespected by them over the years, and he's going to shove it right back in their face. I would love for him to be a bigger person, but he's not. He's true to himself. T.O.'s never been the bigger person. He's always, like, lowered himself to the occasion, and I kind of like that he's staying true to form.
Did you see his statement? said that after visiting the Hall of Fame in Canton and looking forward to this weekend, he's going to celebrate it on his own. There's a lot of questions about how much money T.O. does or does not have anymore. Is it possible?
Is a N-O.
Is it possible that he's having some business venture of like, spend $750 to come watch T.O. watch his own induction?
Sure.
Maybe it'll be in Vegas.
I'd go.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Rays released former Mariner Brad Miller, and immediately I saw a Twitter push for get Brad Miller to Seattle.
Bring back Brad.
No.
Bring back Brad.
My wife was heckling Brad Miller that he still had MySpace at the game on Friday last week. Yeah. No, asked and answered. We saw Brad Miller. Is he a better utility player than Andrew Romine?
No.
So why are we even asking? Like, the primary designation for a utility player is how well he plays multiple positions. Brad Miller doesn't really play any position. He hits well enough in the American League East if he could play a position, and he can't.
No, this is just the this is no news. This is just people talking about the familiar.
The 0-2 pitch swung on, ground ball.
Oh, God!
To the left side of the infield, up of the ball is Miller.
Oh!
His wide throw to first.
Oh!
Way off the mark, it gets on by Logan Morrison and safe at first base.
The old Brad Miller roller coaster.
Now, Jim Moore has one regret, I think, of a question he didn't ask. Lloyd McClendon in spring training talked to us about Brad Miller's throwing difficulties in spring training. And he blamed the number of white shirts in the crowd at spring training.
What?
Swinging a hard hit ground ball to a little short. Backhanded by Miller.
Oh, God.
The long throw to first high. But it's pulled down by Dan Paolini in time to get the out on Perez.
Thanks, Dan Paolini.
Jim has very few regrets about unasked questions because he usually says whatever is top of mind, but he did not follow up on that.
One of my favorite things to do is whenever I look things up in our sound system, you have to look a word up. So in order to find that, I looked up the word roller. And so you never know exactly what you're going to find when you look up a word. Like, you find those Brad Miller sound effects. You also end up with things like this. Little roller coaster of love.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Some chili paprikas.
Yes.
Or is this the original?
I think it's actually the original.
It is the original.
Ohio.
Yeah, so you find that. But then I also find this from Dave Sims.
Tried to turn, but got him right on the right arm. You're right. Right by that protective pad that he has on his right elbow. That's his lead arm. And Martin was able to get up and get to first base.
Got a pad I used to wear when my rollerblading days.
Yes! Oh, my God!
24,851 on hand. Yeah, I did. I rollerbladed all over Manhattan for many years. Absolutely.
Probably the best way to get around.
Some days, yes. Some days, no. Here's Robertson.
You never know what you're going to find when you just type a word into our system.
Oh, my God.
You might find Dave Sims and Rick Riz talking about rollerblading all over Manhattan. You now, just never know. All right,
Dave Sims is replying, responding to the sort of indignance. Do you think Riz just gave him a...
I don't know. You did? I don't know.
Yeah, I did. I rollerbladed all over Manhattan.
You just never know what you're going to find. All right. Manny Active will join us coming up here in a half hour at 9:30. We'll take some more of your phone calls and also want to talk for a moment or two about what the Seahawks should do with Earl Thomas here in the next couple of weeks, because Danny's got a pretty good solution. It's all to come here on Brock and Salk.